It's life on life's terms. Life on Life's Terms podcast. LOL.
We're recording at New Way Recovery Center in Quincy, Mass. On the
All right. I personally am going to take the initiative to use my last name. My name's Thomas Robinson. I got 12 years clean, former junk box.
I'll use my name. I have no problem with that. Thomas B. Newton Jr. Esquire. I'm only kidding. I got 17 months clean. First try, last try. I'm one of the selected few, I guess.
My name's Chris Mandeville. I've been sober for 15 years, courtesy of the Brockton PD. That's how it started.
That's how it starts a lot of times. All right, so the idea of the podcast, this is our first one. The idea of the podcast is we have a guest on. Tom's our guest today. We're going to have him tell his story and, you know, go back and forth, maybe interject some stories of our own, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Just a little background. Me and Tom grew up together in the same neighborhood in Boogie Down, Broke Town.
Yeah, Southfield. We won't get into that. But I'll keep it brief. I would say... all my fun, if you want to call it that, started about 12. And at that point, I had issues within myself, just like everybody. My story's different, but at the same time, it's the same as everybody else's. And because
issues
I didn't
like
do
tissues.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You pull one out, and there's another one right behind it.
So I started getting high at a young age, and my opiates were the ones that took me to my knees, but my addiction's to the word more. Anything I can get a hold of at any time in any way, that's what I'm addicted to. And in the end, unfortunately, I'm one of them guys that ran, and I never knew any better. I didn't know there was another side of things, so I just kept on going. And usually in a case like that, most people die. Unfortunately, me and Chris know a lot of people that have passed in my neighborhood.
Yes, I know a lot of
too
people
many.
Passed as well.
God's will kept me alive. So I got 30 years of using, 20 years of being hardcore using, and I made it to the other side. I used to believe in a couple words like coincidence and good luck and bad luck. And now in retrospect of my life, what I've been through, I realized that was just God in my life telling me, showing me things that I just didn't want to look at. You know, there is no coincidence. There is no good luck. There is no bad luck.
Right.
There's a reason for everything. It's your job to see it and do what you will with it. And these are the things I've learned since I got that clarity, you know. And unfortunately, it took me 30 years of being a savage animal to really get to that point. So I'd like to give you guys, like, some big... fabulous story of what one day I just, you know, I got struck by lightning, you know, but that's just not how it worked for me.
Dude, when I had, it took me to be beat over the head. I was trying to get sober for 7 years before I got sober, you know what I mean?
Wow.
In and out of, I probably went to between 50 and 100 detoxes and programs, you know what I mean, before I got it.
And it's like you talked about you started getting high at 12, but I don't know if you remember this, but we used to be in a friend of ours across the street from you, Chris's kitchen.
Oh, here we go.
And we would be doing knee bends up and down, and get up against the wall. And one of them would push on our chest and would pass each other out.
Done it. But you got to push on the neck, though. You got to push on the neck.
We were looking for that feeling back then.
That escape.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Even momentarily. No. I did drugs because other people were doing them at first.
Yep.
Like, I didn't want to be the kid that, oh, no, I ain't going to do that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
no, I hear you.
Peer pressure definitely played a role.
Big role where
but,
we were from.
Yeah.
Big role.
Because, you know, everyone around us had older brothers, you know, so we all...
Oh, yeah.
We seen what the older kids were doing, and we wanted to do what they were doing, too. Mm. But at some point, you know, I started making the choice on my own. But initially, it was because I wanted to fit in.
Yeah.
You know? Definitely wanted to fit in with everyone else that I was hanging around with, knowing that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. Trying to fit in Brockton, I can imagine. You know.
Yeah, but that, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's like you got that hammer and you got that square peg, and it's a round hole.
It's that taste of excitement, though, too. We grew up in a neighborhood where, you know, you were singled out. You know what I mean? Now, you know, I do believe I've always been a little bit different in my own way, but... And I started drinking and doing drugs very young, and it was fun, you know?
Yeah,
and,
exactly. I mean, I had fun when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
Keg potties
blast,
up the UPS pits, you know?
Dude, I was in bands when I was 13 years old, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're all getting lit up, you know, and having the time of our lives. But, I mean, it don't play out like that in the end.
No, because normal people can grow up and stop.
That's right.
And stop doing that.
Exactly.
They're like, okay, it's time for me to settle down, chill out, get a career.
Be a human being.
Learn some coping skills, maybe, you know, how to deal with life.
Be a human being, not a human doing.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you know what I hear a lot, and I hear this a lot in, you know, in different fellowships, different meetings, is that, and it kind of bothers me, and I agree to a certain extent, but, you know, I hear, when I was a kid, I didn't feel like I fit in. Now, I got that because I didn't feel like I fit in too. But let's just
hold
on. Yeah,
it's called puberty.
Yeah. Let's just hold on for a second. Who the fuck does fit in as a child? You know what I mean? So, you know, it's having idolizations of who we should be, being that tough guy, being that drug dealer.
Yeah.
It's looking for me, it was always looking for some kind of something that made me more than I already was. That extra sparkle, if you want to be fucking kind of herby about it. But you know what I mean? I mean, my whole life was revolved around drugs. Let's just say I never even got high. Let's just say it never happened. I was still a drug dealer around people who did drugs, selling drugs, money, the lifestyle. God forbid music got involved in the 90s. I mean, it was just everything we did. And I do believe the age that we grew up in, things were different back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Drinking and smoking wasn't a big deal, but then, I mean, I never came across heroin, you know, and you were telling me a story earlier. I never came across heroin as a kid. Coke, you know, crack was in the 90s, but I didn't necessarily come across. I put myself in front of it, but I didn't come across it. And, you know, we grew up middle class, low middle class.
Yeah.
You know,
dude, I went to my senior prom with an 8-ball, and I left with an 8-ball. I never even opened it. Like,
no,
I didn't know
shit.
I swear to God, I didn't know anything about Coke.
No.
I'm like, hey, you want to do a line? Everyone's like, I got my own. All right.
Wow.
So when I left, I gave it back to the girl that gave it to me. You know
see,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you going to your prom? Here, take this.
High school was about chasing acid for me. I wanted acid.
Oh, I played that game.
Yes.
Mescaline, acid.
I just wanted acid.
Mushrooms.
The wall. Remember the wall on East Street?
Yeah.
I remember John Coyle, a couple other kids, Roger Lydic,
John Gill,
taking acid and being petrified to run through that. All it was a stone wall that was next to woods, but there was no street lights. It was dark as shit, and it was on the back of a convent.
There was a convent burial ground back there. And side note, that was one of the last days I got high was right there.
Really?
Not 2 years ago.
Dude, I remember, like, before I started getting high, going to the convent, stealing grapes from the orchard, the vineyard,
apples.
And taking them home and blending them up and thinking I was making wine.
Dude, I tried to make corn whiskey because I heard you could just cook it up and make it when I was, like, 12.
My mom came home one day and her address book was on the table with, like, 10 lines of Sweet and Low. She walks in the house and sees Sweet and Low and a straw. She's like, Christopher, what the fuck is this? I'm like,
that's not
Sweet and Low. And this was long before I picked up, I think.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I had alcoholic or addict behaviors before I ever ingested any of
it.
You know?
Going
to Bradley's over on the east side and stealing just to steal.
Caldo's
I had,
and Bradley's.
I had money. I could have bought what I wanted. Yeah. But that rush, you know what I mean?
And unfortunately now, and like I said, I don't want to speak like I got all this clean time, but In the 17 months I've been clean, it was 17 months on Monday, actually.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. And
congrats, bro.
In the time that I've done that, I got involved in the two fellowships and the steps and the ways to get to the root of the problem. My point is this, is that I found out in 17 months that that's exactly my fucking problem. At this point, I can stop drugs and alcohol all I want, but I have that addiction to that excitement, to that, like, walking the blade, stealing for no reason. Do I take part in that at this point? No, I try to better myself. I'm a little too old for that shit, but fights, attitude, you know what I mean? Behaviors, I was telling you on the way over here, behaviors is, I don't fight alcohol. Once I get that out of my life after 30 years, listen, some people finally have had enough.
Yeah.
I've had enough. There's nothing I can do more with cocaine. There's nothing I can do more with heroin. There's no other drugs out there that I have not abused until no end. So, like, once I get that away from me and I got away from that lifestyle and the people I was around, unfortunately, some of them are good people, but they're sick too. But now I'm starting to really, in retrospect, look at my behaviors in life, like what I do, like why I do it. You know what I mean? I'm on the train. You know, I got a beautiful girlfriend. She's beautiful. So I'm starting to, like, trying to develop who I am, find out why I do the things I do. And I got guys looking at her, and I learned to take that as a compliment. Where I'm from, you look at my girlfriend, I'm taking your eyes home with me. Right. Your teeth will be on my necklace.
There's a time frame. You know what I mean? Glance.
Yes.
Admire for a
That's
second.
Right.
Okay, compliment. Yep. But when you're, like, straight up staring her down,
right.
Like, all right, bro, enough.
Enough.
Like, chill.
And I got to learn that because, you know what I mean? Like, who am I?
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm with my girlfriend and you're eyeing her up and down. You're eye fucking the shit out of her. And I'm thinking to myself, I got to fucking, I can feel my cape growing out of my back. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm like 5'6", dude. You know what I mean?
I'll stab you. I don't even have a knife.
Yeah,
stab
right?
You with something.
Let's mention the fact that I gained probably 50 pounds in the past 17 months and I like to try to stay in shape. That's part of my recovery. And listen, I'm still 5'6". I'm still that little kid. You
but
know what I mean?
Like you were talking now.
You can go off the deep end with that. Sure.
Yes.
We can find that excitement and joy and that rush in other things that are legal. And you know, it's you're talking about behaviors. I knew a guy, and talking about going through the work, and this is why you're changing, you know, going through a process and changing. I knew a guy that he wouldn't pay for raises. 10 years sober, still stealing raises. And then one day
he got caught.
No, he went to steal a pack of razors and he started sweating and started getting all nervous and was like, what the fuck? Like,
He changed. He fucking changed.
But sober, didn't drink, didn't drug, but the behaviors.
Well, maybe he needed to hold on to that behavior just so that he would, you know,
feel
good or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that helped him stay sober. Who knows, you know?
It's a sobering, pardon the pun, but it's a sobering feeling to really look at yourself. Act in a certain way. You know, I'm 42 years old. You know what I mean? I've owned houses. I've had apartments. You know, I got a good union job. Always made good money. Always had nice places and nice things. Now I'm living with 25 maniacs in Jamaica Plain in a halfway house. And I thought halfway houses were for drunks who couldn't stop drinking before I had gotten to a program. So I'm living with, you know, I got a 6'2" Haitian in the room with me. And I got a little Asian kid, you know what I mean? Which doesn't make a difference.
Yeah,
but
it don't
the point
discriminate,
is,
though. There's, you know.
Yeah. But the point is, I'm in there with a bunch of people, and I'm clean. And like I said earlier, you take the pacifier, which was drugs and alcohol, away from the baby. What does the baby do? Starts crying and acting erratic. So when I first got there, I got into work right away, which I don't know if it was the clarity of being involved in the work right away, but I knew nobody in Boston. I think you were one of the only people that I knew. I walked right up to you when I saw you. So I don't know what it really was, but I started acting like I always have. And boom, I had to take a step back and look and say, you know, I'm over there, you know, I got the 6'4" Haitian dude in the corner, and I got him by the neck, and I'm looking at myself, I'm like 140 pounds, and I'm like, I'll chew your ears off. And he's looking at me, he's like, guy.
Yeah.
It was only a corn muffin, man. You know what I mean? So I'm like,
it's not that serious, bro.
No. So at that point, I really started to see how it's not just what I'm doing for myself. And you said this earlier. It's a ripple effect. It's me working on trying to be a better person, which in return, not directly, but the people around you it starts to affect. And,
absolutely.
And I'm still feeling that to this day. You know, just Monday, which was 17 months for me, I had a kid that, he was 18, I was 25. We got in the union and went to school together. And, you know, he was in a lot of the hijinks, the drugs, and the stuff I was doing. I was a big deal for a long time. He was involved in that. And he was always like a little brother. And I had to cut him out. I
yeah,
couldn't be around certain people anymore because all I knew was getting high. I met him, I was getting high. And I mean, I was a severe addict when I met him. And, you know, we all know it's a disease of progression. And over the years, it got worse and worse and worse. Now I've known him 20 years, and he calls me the other day, and I'm like, hey, come to a meeting. That's when I text you. And I said, hey, do you know meeting?
Yeah.
So he comes over, he's half shit faced, and he didn't, first off, I walked out to meet him, and he walked right by me. And I'm like, dude, where are you going? Turn right around. He's like, what the fuck? Because I haven't seen him.
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen him
right.
in 3 years. He's like, wow, I never imagined. I'm like, dude, listen. And your cousin, Ronnie, one of my best friends, the first thing he said, he's a sponsee of mine, too. The first thing he said to me was like, you know, I don't want to offend you. And I said, say what you got to say, dude. And he's like, truly, we're great friends. We've done drugs together. We haven't. Our friendship doesn't depend on that. But I truly thought that you were never going to get clean. You would always do drugs until it was your demise. He goes, I just never considered you. And he goes, this is even before I was using. I just never considered you without drugs because I was always doing something. Literally always doing something all the time.
Right.
So, like, it's strange the effect. Now, this kid that came over the other night, I got him into a detox the next morning. He's there right now. He has drug issues, but he's right back to where he started drinking. But it's crazy. And I was telling you this, like, people want me to talk. At that particular meeting, we won't get into which one, but, you know, I had kids coming up to me saying, oh, I come here to hear you, and it's just, listen.
Right.
Listen, you're old. I'm always a little dude in the back with the wise-ass comments, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, someone's listening
to me. I do know what you mean.
But it's not me.
Right.
It's what they see in me. It's that magic you get when you feel better, when you wake up and you can be happy. I mean, at 12, that was the beginning. I've never had a life, my life. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I had a worse life and this and that, because I didn't.
Right.
I had opportunities. I had a nice life.
Yeah, but your self-image, when you're using that long, that bad, your self-image gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and then you get clean, and you're like, fuck, maybe I'm not that bad.
Exactly.
You start feeling good. You start looking at a little hope, and people see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a huge part, and that's a big feeling, you know?
I don't know how many people I've come across that were like, holy shit. Or I'll tell someone my story. Like, guys I work with, I'll tell them my story, and they'll be like, get out of here. Like, some of the because I'm not that person anymore. They can't
so
even
far
see.
Removed.
They can't even see me doing those things. That happened in jail. Like, one of the COs, he was like, he called me over. He's like, hey, I read your jacket. He's like, I just can't even see you doing any of that shit, dude. Like, really? He goes, the way you operate down here, like, I was cooking in the kitchen. You know what I mean? Mm. They told me, you ain't going to make it. I've cooked in some shitty kitchens. I can make it in the kitchen where I was. Trust me. And he's like, you're always helping out and this and that. And he's like, you don't have to do that stuff, but you do. And this was before I even got into recovery. You know, I was just clean.
Right.
I was physically removed from the situation I was in. Thank God.
Allowed to be yourself.
And, yeah, like, those morals and values that I was raised with, I never lost them.
Right.
They were still there. They were just so clouded and cluttered with other bullshit that I thought I was supposed to be like.
That's
you
right.
Know?
And the good part of us is hidden from ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't even realize, like, that it's still there. We're still, the core is still there. You know what
right.
I mean? So, I mean.
I felt for a long time that, you know, and I don't know if this sounds egotistical, but, you know, where we grew up, you know, I wasn't a bad guy. I wasn't, you know, I know I'm a good guy because I know of even high. Now, listen, I'm a bad guy who made bad decisions and did bad things. But that doesn't necessarily make you a bad person.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned. And that's why I think when I got involved and I finally got clean, and this is why I got involved. I don't know where I learned it, but along the way I knew for a fact that taking away the drugs and the alcohol, whatever I was doing, and maybe it was because I did everything to no end, but I knew that there was, I used to, let me say this. My thing was when I used to get high, in the midst of it, why do you get high, man? You need to stop. Well, you know, why do you get high? Would you get abused as a kid? Nope. Sexual abuse? Nope. I have a good family. None of them are addicts.
Because getting high is fun.
Well, that's what I used to say. Why do you get high? I love to get high. You know what I mean? It's great. What do you mean? You know. And then you got to look back, and that was my thing for a long time. And then you look back, and I'm in a porta potty on North Main Street.
Yeah,
shooting heroin in my cock and shooting crack in my neck at the same time. We're not having fun anymore,
no,
dude.
It ain't fun at that point.
This
isn't
a failed trip, dude. This isn't fun.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So at some point, I knew that there was a reason, and I truly believe that people, they say it's a disease, and I get it, but I believe it's a disease that's been developed. Now, it can be hereditary, but it's up to you to develop.
I think you're predisposition to whatever, maybe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You're the one who brings it on. You know?
Allows it to manifest.
Yeah, it's a choice. It's like, you know, at first.
Well, it was a choice. Yeah.
It was a choice
was
at
a
first.
Choice. But
then it becomes, there's no choice.
Then
no.
Yes, then you lose that power of choice.
Right.
But I know plenty of people that I've met in the rooms that they will probably never use again. And they haven't done any work. They just do what they do. You know?
Oh, God bless them. But, I mean,
maybe
they're happy. Maybe they could be happier. Maybe they could be, you know, who knows? You can't judge.
For me, it ain't going to work, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Luckily, I was in recovery. Well, I'd say I was sober for 7 years. Still bullshitting, lying, you know, still, like I said to you in the car, it ain't an old behavior if you're still doing it.
Yeah.
That's
That's
right.
And then I got to the point where sober, I didn't want to live anymore. But I knew I wasn't gonna go back to getting high.
Mm.
No way.
It doesn't matter.
Pride and ego.
That's it.
Whatever. If pride and ego got me to get to doing the work,
it is what it is, and
changing the person that I am. You know, for you to get into the work that early, dude, that's.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing.
I really don't even know what, you know, I have a couple ideas.
But that's the thing. Like, you were, I'm just going to say, badly mangled.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. After all those years,
yeah,
definitely. But
it's horrible.
The conscience. You know what it is?
Yeah.
Is I got clean, and all of a sudden, this weird pimple that I never had before grew on my forehead, and it was called a conscience. And I couldn't pop the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't, like I told you, the first thing I did when I was clean, about 2-3 weeks after totally being clean. Now, when I went to the detox, they tried to give me the meds. I refused all meds. I said, listen, I don't want your maintenance. I don't want this. I don't want that. I literally took nothing. I said, I'll be over here in the corner. Throw me a water and a biscuit every couple of days.
Yeah.
You guys are doctors. So if I'm dying, save me, but I'll be all right. I had had enough. The whole point was for me not to wake up and need something.
Yes.
Now, I rock, you know, when I left the detox, I was still sick. I went into holding still sick for another 2 weeks. I didn't sleep for something like 31 days, and they said I was clinically insane for 3 weeks.
Psychosis.
Yeah.
Okay,
but,
gross.
Hey, listen,
I
wouldn't have changed it for a fucking, not for nothing.
No,
because
sometimes you got to go through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes you feel it, yep.
I got to a point where that gave me my own respect, and in that time, I got out, and 2 weeks after that, I grew a conscience. All the things, I'm not saying robbing and stuff, like we've all done grime, I'm not going to get into that, but like things like hurting other people. Now, I might have been off and not thinking about it, but directly and indirectly, how many people did I hurt or start on this path I'm on now? How many people have died as a result of the things I've done and the things I've given them and the way I helped them? And the double-edged sword is this, is when somebody asks you for drugs and you're on drugs yourself, you're an asshole if you don't help them. But then, in reality, if you do help them, you're an asshole. So how does that work?
Right.
When we're from where we're from, it don't work like that.
Yeah.
You help out. I'm doing you a favor by selling you pills and making money off you so I can get high.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
So
I grew a conscience somewhere along the way in the guilt of everything I've done. We're not going to get into family and the stuff I've done physically. You know what I mean? I mean, CVS doesn't like me, man. I've had them on the floor. You know what I mean? We're not going to get into that.
Yeah.
But my thing is this, is that I could not live with myself. And I started waking up happy because I didn't need anything at the halfway house. I'm happy to be living in a place with 25 guys and wearing shower shoes. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But I knew it was something. I felt
something.
Shower
shoes.
Yeah, I just got rid of them like 2 weeks ago.
I thought I would never be able to take a shower without shower shoes.
Oh, dude, I did 2 weeks ago. Just got my own place. I'm like,
oh, man.
Dude. My girl's like, what do you got those on in the shower for? I'm like, what do you mean?
Oh, yeah. and how fucking weird is it to actually step on the tub?
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah. Like, I know.
Wait a minute. This don't feel right.
I actually got rug in my house and shit. You know what I mean? It's crazy. But gosh, it took me quite some time to like really get that. And a lot of people say they get the gift of desperation.
Yeah.
I didn't have the gift. I've been desperate for 20 years or I wouldn't have been.
Right. How many times did you almost get through that kick? Yeah. And you were like, no, I'm feeling better. Maybe I can try it again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boom. Back on the fuck.
I just do a little guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. That didn't work out. I believe I got the gift. I'm not going to say sympathy because I've always been sympathetic. But what it really was the gift of empathy. See, there's a number of things I believe that got me to finally go away. I never went away, dude.
Yeah.
I went to a one detox 5 years ago. I got sectioned. I went to Mancy. Got out for 9 days. I sectioned myself the first time. Got out for 9 days. My parents see me with a shit ton. I got out with $20. 7 hours later, I got $42,000 in my pocket, and I'm wondering what the fuck. 9 days later, I got sectioned again and did Bridgewater clean. Got out of that, and that was it for me. And then I tried to detox once. So my story doesn't consist of like what you were saying, in and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. I'm not a program all star either.
Yeah.
It was
no,
like,
by no means. So as the farther away I get away from that particular time when I finally went in and got clean, the more I retrospect and I think I find myself thinking about it more and more and actually seeing more and more, the more clarity in the farther God. Tell me. I mean, you got more time. You as well. As I get farther and farther away, I see more and more. So every time I tell my story,
yeah, of course,
it's different because I see it's the same, but it's different because I pick out and I don't know if it's what I'm learning or like I'm more receptive. I don't know what it is.
I had to tell my story to know it. I didn't even know it until I started telling it. And then, you know, like the first time I ever spoke was where we were together.
And me too.
I'm like, oh, I forgot all about that. Oh, yeah. And then I did this. Like, I was just so gone. I was gone. I couldn't remember anything.
Wow. I went to a couple of different programs, but nobody ever made me speak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of these programs, you can just sit back in the cut and like do nothing.
Just be.
And you're like, oh, you completed the program because you sat in a chair. You were furniture for 6 months.
I did that. I did that when I was in jail. I was put into the drug block. I worked in the kitchen from 6:30 to 2:30. Program hours were from 7 to 3. So I would leave before the program started, get back at 2:30. I was a worker, so I got to take a shower and I would come back every day and say, oh, I moved up a phase because it was the same program.
Oh, yeah?
The same, yes.
But you could just move up a phase by
I'm
not
like,
even
yes,
being
I
there?
Yes, I moved up a phase.
That's beautiful. Great.
And I didn't, I watched one movie and went to one meeting in the whole time that I was in the drug unit. The best thing about it was I had a single cell. It was the last block that had single cells. Wow. And they were testing. They wanted to see if it worked.
Oh, yeah. And,
you know, that's crazy, man.
I moved up through a program and got a certificate of completion for doing absolutely nothing. And they're still doing that. And it's killing people.
Yeah.
It's killing
probably
people.
Probably shouldn't mention
that. I don't really know
the name of that company.
Right.
The program, I don't really now I knew a couple people that got clean in Brockton and they went to meetings. I was saying this to you earlier. Mm. And I was like, the meeting's not going to keep me clean, dude, because I'll go high and I'll leave and get high. But like I said, it was empathy. Somebody died on East Street right around the corner from where we lived. He was wearing a jacket and a pair of pants, looked just like me, and he was facing the street. He literally died, cranked over, overdosed, on the white line facing the woods, 200 yards from the end of my street. So my mother went out to go food shopping, and at this point, I look like E.T., 120 pounds, I'm gray, I'm living at their house. I'm like the barnacle your parents want to scrape off the hull, you know what I mean? She goes out, she comes back. And this lady doesn't know nothing about drugs. You would think she does in Brockton. She pulls over, walks over. And this dude, I guess, had been laying there for a while, like a minute. Comes over thinking it's me until she gets up on it, asks the cop if he could see, looks over and sees some dude, maggots in his face and shit, to make sure it wasn't me. Comes home. Meanwhile, while I'm sitting there, she's pulling in the driveway. The only thing people wanted from me when I was getting high was fucking distance, man. Yeah. I didn't get phone calls.
Right.
My friends were still my friends, but they weren't my friends. All of a sudden, I get inundated with 9 or 10 phone calls. Tommy, hey, what's up? I'm like, hey, what's up? They're like, oh, we're just giving. I just want to give you a call. I just saw somebody on East Street. I thought it was you. And then my mother walks in the house in tears.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I sat with that for about 4 or 5 days, and that's when I went away. But when I went away, I woke up one morning and I said, hey, you guys are going to have to drop me off the detox. Obviously, I got a problem. I need some help. You know, my father's old school. He's like, my mother's like, whenever you need. And at this point, I had no idea what I was doing. Went to detox, and all I heard, this is the only thing that ever stuck to me, further treatment. So I go, I do the detox, and they're like, what are you going to do next? You're going to go home. I'm like, further treatment. I end up in the halfway house.
Good for you.
Oh, further treatment. And I just kept on going. I literally just got off that 2 weeks ago. I spent the last year in what, 6 months? I just had 17 months. So let's just say 16 months I just spent. I did the detox. I did the holding. I did the halfway house for 6 months. And I just spent almost a year at a sober house. Now, did I think I needed it? Especially the sober house? Did I think I needed that? Absolutely not. In retrospect, did I need it? You're fucking right, I did.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just the truth. I can sit here and bullshit you. And now, like you said, I'm not wearing shower shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Somebody's not standing over me looking for a little bit of my nectar in the middle of the night. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't have to pee no more. I'm getting off probation for the first time since the 90s tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
That's,
I got a girlfriend. She doesn't hate me. I don't hate her. You know what I mean? I actually can have real feelings. My mother used to cry when I was around. Now she still cries when I'm around because
but
I'm
it's
leaving.
Different
yes.
reasons.
Yes.
Because
different
she's like,
reasons.
I'm crying now because
yeah.
you're going to have to go. You know what I mean? I have real relationships, real ones. Like, I used to think I knew what a relationship was. No, dude.
Right.
Listen, I got real friends.
Yeah.
How about this? I can legitimately laugh. Big part of my recovery. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Belly laughs.
Oh, my
dude.
God, bro.
Dude,
when your cheeks hurt, your stomach's cramping up,
you piddle a little bit in your pants.
That was like a lifeline for me because, I mean, for the most part, what I said to myself when I first got out of the house for the second time, when I stayed sober, I said, I'm going to stay sober if I got to fucking be miserable for the rest of my life. And I was a lot of miserable.
Yeah.
You know, I had a 9-month-old son. When I was in jail, his mother called me up and said, all right, I just want you to know that we're broken up because there's somebody I want to be with this weekend, all right? Click. And when you're all right, that's good.
Yeah.
Seems like a good choice. I'll be over here with my shower shoes.
I'll be bumming a ramen off my cellmate.
But,
big thing, laughter is big.
Oh, yeah. So... I moved out of the program with some guys from the program. We got an apartment, and those fucking dudes were having a ball sober. They were just having a ball.
Absolutely.
So it was my lifeline. Laughter was my lifeline.
Huge
it really was.
Yeah, it is, man. Because we don't laugh out there.
No.
It ain't fucking funny, man.
Nothing's funny.
You know?
That's right.
Like, yeah, you might want something from somebody. They say something funny.
That's right.
Hurry the fuck up. Give me more than I need. You know what I mean? But now... Oh,
the
man.
Perspective on life, that's what it is. Like, my relationship now, I spent a year getting to know this girl before I was actually with her. I actually, listen, now I'm going to be honest with you because this is all about honesty. Did I run around like a savage and try to, like, populate my own continent before I had a relationship my first year of recovery? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey.
And I'll tell
that's
you,
what it is.
On that note, my whole, I used to have this clause that I would say that would, you know, make me free of it. Hey, listen, all I got is the time we spend together and what goes on in between us. I can't really have a relationship right now. And that's
the beautiful. No relationships with the first. Yeah, beautiful.
That's the escape clause I used to do. But listen, this girl, and hey, listen, nothing lasts forever. I'm not sure. But I can tell you what, I was with somebody for 10 years before I got clean. They're clean now as well. They got clean first. And that's a whole nother story. But this girl, one of the basic things that that strikes me about this girl is laughter. I have legitimate, sick, twisted, piddle in your pants, so I can snot out my nose, laughter with this girl on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's
of course
that's
she's
awesome.
Beautiful.
That's
she's beautiful, but that's one of the things that, you know, that attracts me to her. You know, now listen, man, I didn't have an easy paper route. Take addiction out of my life, and I didn't have an easy paper route with disease, with my mother, diseases that I've been to. cancer's been a big fucking kick in the balls my whole life.
Yeah.
Whether it be with my mom, my sister, my father. You know, I've had a pretty hard paper route in life. And I'm going to say this, and I can't believe I'm going to say it, but since I got clean, I've had quite a few things happen to me that would have been real easy to get high over.
Oh, yeah.
Without what I've learned, watching other people, but really what I've self-discovery, like reviewing what goes on with me and challenge myself if I get in that position again to do better. Which is something I do in every day. Everybody says I do a nightly review. I do mine in the morning. I look at the day before. I look at what I went through that day and how I reacted and how can I have done it better. And then I sit there and I say, what are my goals for today? I do that every morning. Corny. Never did anything like that in my life. Yeah. But I'll be corny all day long. If that's part of what got me right here, right now, and the feelings I got. Because I'll tell you what, I'd be getting high. If there was a way for me to live the life that I'm living now and feel the way that I do now, and still get high, I'd still be getting high.
Yeah, right.
I'm not going to lie to you, but there isn't a trade-off, you know what I mean, for me.
When it stops working for you, you know.
Yeah, if I could do what I was doing and not have to pay the consequences I paid.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah,
without
a doubt. Consequences might make you stop doing anything, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just the trade-off is just unbelievable, you know what I mean? I never had kids. You know, I met somebody I can truly be myself around. Really, truly. You know, I was with someone for 10 years, and I thought I could be myself around her. No, this is on some other shit. I mean, this girl's fucking horrified and still hangs out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get that. Like, I'm a horrifying motherfucker. It's cool, though. I'm happy with it. I'm okay with being like that, you know? No one said, just because I'm clean, I'm going to be normal. You know what I mean? I get all
normal,
that.
Though, you know,
yeah.
What's
normal?
But, you know what I mean? I got pregnant for the first time, lost that. I've lost a couple friends in the past almost 2 years. You know, I've gone through some things. My family going through some things. But
yeah, things that other people would have said, fuck it.
Things that I would have said, fuck it.
Right.
But I never took the time to, like you said earlier, learn how to coping skills.
Yeah.
Not saying I get the best ones. I might go to the gym. I might talk to myself. I take it out on work. I take it out on myself. I'm not saying I'm the healthiest guy, but I'm in the gym. I mean, I'm a little guy. Whatever. I eat like a savage. You know what I mean? I'll eat a whole cheesecake just for the because I can. How's that sound? You know what I mean? But
yeah, I can't do that no more.
No.
But it's like living life, though. I had started getting rid of my clarity at 12, so I never really learned how to live life.
Yeah.
I know how to exist. Me too, I know how to fucking exist, dude. I've done it since I was...
Exist, hustle, get by.
Get by, whatever. Exist. But whatever. Living life
and
existing are two different things. Just like... reacting and responding to whole things. My whole life I've been reacting.
Yep.
Look at me. What's up, man?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then now I learn to sit back, look at what's going on, and respond. There's a fucking difference for me.
Yep.
Reacting and responding and existing and living. It's just, and I'm on, like I said, I mean, everything happens for a reason. Coincidence, good luck, bad luck. All that shit's just, for me, was my higher power saying, hey, fuck stick, look at this. And I just chose not to.
That spiritual ear flick. God was like, boom, wake up.
He said spiritual ear flick.
Dope slap.
Oh, man, don't
and
even go there.
It's like you look back and or when you're in the moment while you're still under the influence or whatever, shit's happening. You're like, what the fuck? But then you actually get sober, stop, look back at what happened and be like, if that didn't fucking happen, I wouldn't be where I am right now.
Everything happens for a reason,
you know,
man.
I got a kid we grew up with. I think he's actually your age. Police officer in Brockton now. And, he caught me. I could have been gone. But he was a human. And he was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, look at you. And I didn't even know who he was. You know, and then he said it, and I'm like, oh, and it happened twice. But that set up the path that I ended up on.
Yep.
You know, I didn't go to a bunch of detoxes. I hit Catholic Charities a couple times back in the day.
Yep.
Went to Bridgewater. There's no water like Bridgewater. I did that 30 days. Swore up and down, I'm not hanging with them. I'm not hanging with her. I'm not going back over there. I get out, 6-7 hours, I was high.
Back at it.
Oh, yeah.
Made it another few months, got locked up again, and this time, this is when it stuck.
It's nothing worse than the words, take him into custody.
No, this time, honestly, that last time. All right,
we'll take him
time,
into custody.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that. Custody? No, yeah, what the fuck?
But walking into court,
I was
holding your
beat
pants
up
at your knees because I take your belt. My shoes are falling off. I was like a buck nothing, anyways.
Yeah,
like,
the shit, dude. Yeah. The shit was too big to begin with.
Come on,
and then you gotta take my belt.
Not to mention, know? I probably didn't have underwear on that day because I was too lazy in a hurry to get out of the house. And man.
I was like, I remember I pulled up to Southie Court, parked my car, stuck my stuff under the thing. I was high as fuck. Walked in there. I'm in there, and they're like, "You're looking kind of." Take him into custody. I was like, what? You know, I had plans for this afternoon.
Yeah. What do you mean? For what?
What do you mean? I got my baby out in the car. I'll be right back.
Man.
To like, kid, we know you don't have kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, shit.
Insane.
It's crazy, though, the reflection of what you used to do. You know what I mean? That was my thing. It was just bad luck. I'm driving down the street. I took about 5 or 6 indictment pills. Xanax bars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On top of the dope, I bit the gram and a half of dope I shot before 8 a.m. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm driving down. I'm trying to load up some crack. And I'm shooting, driving down the street.
Had your coffee. Now you need your breakfast.
Yeah. So I rear end somebody, and I'm like, fuck it. I look over to the girl I was with. I'm like, man, my fucking luck. Now I look back at it.
my luck.
Guy.
That is the worst luck.
Guy, you're a fucking chemical puke,
man.
Driving down the street at 8:30 in the morning. Why would, what, luck had nothing to do with, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Fuck. When you're at that
eye time. On the spoon, not the road.
Yeah. Oh, it's a coincidence. They stopped and I didn't. And we met. And
I used to drive. I'd cook the whole thing. Dump it into the spoon, cook it up, shoot it. Never stop one. Just keep it one.
That
knees
too.
Fucking.
Oh, yeah.
I played that game.
Ugly. And then you're in the other lane, and whoop, I better turn 3 times and fucking so nobody
texting
sees.
Texting and driving. Try shooting.
Try
dope
shooting
and driving.
What? Hitting crack in your fucking aorta while you're like, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Dude, listen. Listen, you know you're fucked up in the game when you get in an accident. I bought a brand, my last vehicle. Now, listen, my license is all right. I could have a vehicle tomorrow. This is a fear that I haven't walked through yet.
Yeah.
I used to, when things got real bad, I drove drug dealers around. I made hustles. I made plays. Driving was part of my fucking sickness, so not something I've dealt with yet. I live off the trains, but you know you're fucked up in the game. I bought a Grand Cherokee Laredo, beautiful vehicle. You know, everybody's nice car. I'm like, I'm in the fucking thing. I end up in Stoughton. Listen, I don't even know what I was on that night. I know I started out the day on dope. Coke was involved. Johnny, just listen. When they gave me the toxicology back after the fact, it was like the guy's like, what the fuck weren't you on? You know, but this is how you know you fucked up. I'm leaving Stoughton. I'm headed to Brockton. Lived in Brockton my whole life. My ex of 10 years was from Stoughton. Know exactly where I'm going. Somehow, some way, I end up in fucking Canton. I bounced the car off a couple trees, and I guess I hit a guardrail in a tree on a corner in Canton. I still, to this day, haven't been there. I hit it so hard, all the windows in the entire vehicle exploded. I woke up sitting like this across the street. Literally, grass stains on my ass.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, wow, I got lucky on that one. Luck?
Yeah.
So you're telling me I hit this so hard the windows explode and I got ejected to land on my little fucking bony ass sitting straight up. Cut the shit, dude. Really? Come on, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
no one was watching out for you that day.
No, not at all.
No.
Dude, you know, no fucking.
Dude, I ran over an island with a stop sign. My car's hung up and I woke up. I don't know how long. I take my stuff, I hide it behind the building, and I jack the car up in the middle of Shaw's parking lot in Brockton. Fucking people all over, jack the car up, push it off the jack, go grab my stuff. All right, see?
I'll be okay. Flesh wound.
I'm fine.
All right.
It's fine.
Me flesh wound.
No problem.
Too funny. But it's funny what you, I brought it up because it's funny what I see now when I look at things that I thought I figured out. Even 6 months ago, and I, like you said, I would speak, and now I sit at home and I'm like, wait a minute, you know, it's crazy what you think what you think was fact, because I believe my own bullshit.
Oh yeah,
I'll sit here and tell you, dude. I went there with these two guys and they were fucking making fun of me. I can't fucking stand them. You know, I fucked them too, dude. You know what I mean? Like, What I conceive is what's going on at those particular years and what actually went on. Two different fucking things, dude.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And the sad thing is that I have witnesses in my life that tell me how it exactly really went. You know what I mean? Like, no, dude. I'm like, ah, oh, dude, I didn't feel good. This dude punched me in the face. And, you know, I fell in some dog shit. And I got up and I tried to run away. And I got tripped up on my sneaker. And my ex-girl was like, no, dude, you shit yourself. You headbutted somebody. You tried to run away. You tripped over your own feet. And you fell down and broke your teeth out of your face.
Yeah, right?
I'm like, dude, I got an vicious brawl.
What are you talking? That ain't how it went down.
I beat the shit out of somebody. Ended up in my pants. What do you mean? She's like, no, that's not how it went, dude. You know what I mean? The shit I convinced myself of is just...
Yeah. That must be what happened. There's no way I'd shit myself.
Oh, no. Hell no, dude. Why would I do that? My nanositol levels are probably through the roof.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yep.
I'm 40 years old. I didn't shit myself.
Nope. Shooting straight.
Funny, though. Funny.
Baby laxative.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, though, man. And like I said, I'm watching people around me that... The choice now... between living and dying isn't really a choice at all. A lot of fentanyl going on, that car fentanyl.
Yeah, that stuff is killing people. Hey, so what did they take out of, New York or New Jersey? Like so much fentanyl, it was like enough to kill
32 million people.
32 million people,
yeah. They found it in the apartment.
Yeah, so where'd they get a hold of this prescription drug? You think it had anything to do with fucking pharmaceutical companies or... Or did they just somebody sneak it out of the back room?
Somebody
knew something, and they sold something
either,
to somebody.
Either that or there's some people out there that are pretty smart at, we'll say, knockoffs.
Yeah, maybe. And you might be right there.
I don't know.
Somebody making it in the back room.
They can reverse engineer a lot of things.
Yeah. It's possible.
I guess that's possible. Right back to the 1998 when I started selling OCs, and I used to go down to Florida. And you know what, man? That was a new drug. I remember a kid who had 100 of these OC80s. And this was back... Literally in 1998, I remember we were calling him Super Perks, and he was like, you know, I remember doing one, and I was violently ill. But my point is that they became available.
Super Perks.
They were calling them Super Perks. Yeah, Super Perks as well. Beyond that, you do a quarter of them, you're gone. But it's hard to believe that this is a new wonder drug. Now, from a man who had a mother on cancer, my mother wasn't one that took the painkillers. The pain pills. My mother went through it on her own. I'm sure at one point she did. But the whole point of an OC80.
Yeah, but she took them for pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she took them for pain. And when the pain wasn't there, she didn't take them more.
Yeah. My point is that the whole point of an OC was someone who was supposed to take two when they woke up, and 2 or 4 hours later, and 2 or 4 hours after that, and 2 or 4 hours after that, and they had consistent pain. You were supposed to, this was the new wonder drug. You take an 80 in the morning, and you're good for the whole fucking day. The time release was on the outside, and I used to work with a couple guys putting in pools with your cousin, which I did for 10 years, and these kids were already pulling the cover off of these things, and I remember one of them looked at me, and this is like eating 16 perks all at once. I'm like, all at once? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, why the fuck would you want to feel that?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's pulling his eyes out of his head and he's fucking...
Well, you think about actually eating 16 old school Percocet.
Yeah.
And gross. You think of the pile that would be on the table. You're like, oh!
I'm thinking but a bound up fucking softball. It's coming on my ass.
Yeah.
But these guys, you know what I mean? So these guys
started
doing
pulling it out.
Yeah, I gotta break it up.
I gotta do it something. Coming. It ain't coming out.
Where's my roommate's toothbrush? Hold on. But so my point is this: is that those started coming out, and then all of a sudden, I remember specifically seeing the cover of Time, and they had an OC80 on it, big green OC80, and I'm selling these like 20 here and there, and I'm like, oh, the new wonder drug, and I'm thinking, it doesn't smell like weed. Dogs can't track it like coke. That's just a new thing.
Mm.
I got this figure. Everybody's going to love these. I sold them for 2 years and didn't even do them. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, I start going down to Florida and I'm playing the fucking game. And at that point, there had to be somewhere in that company
that pharmaceutical company that knew what this was going to do.
Oh, yeah.
This is better than heroin.
Of course.
OCs are better than heroin.
Hey, he just died. The guy who created OCs just passed away, 98 yeah. years
oh,
old.
Oh, really?
His company was worth $31 billion.
Of course.
And they knew. They knew that they lied to the FDA, to everybody. They said they were non-addictive. When they
did
fucking
they really?
When they knew it. When they knew it.
You know how many people those pills have killed?
How many people? I probably, like I said, you know the guilt I felt.
They
I
knew.
Still, oh, yeah. I still feel, dude, listen, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure my recovery would have went the way it did if those were still available. When I told you I sectioned myself, this was back when it was 30 days, and I did the nice place, Matsy, with the nice food, and you'll be okay, you're hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go lay down, and you'll be okay. And, you know, we talked about it, and everything's going to be okay. I got out. They were already gone. And there was this new word in my life called dope sick. And I'm like, I never did dope. No, you're dope sick.
Exactly.
And people were going crazy. I had 2,500 of them stashed over on East Street in the wall. I went and got them. I was getting $100 a piece.
And yeah, because they were gone.
They went from
supply
OCs
and demand,
OCs to OPs, in a little over 30 days.
OPs, see, I don't know anything about this.
OPs. Now listen, an OC was a pill. Obviously,
yeah,
it had a
time release
on the outside.
Yeah.
You take the outside off, and there's no time release. So you get the whole pharmaceutical buzz all at once. OPs, what they did is they tried to get a handle on the situation. Like they said, they knew it was happening. They knew it was an epidemic. They tried to get a handle on it. What they did is they take the time release and they mix it in the actual binder, in the actual pill. So people are like, oh, you could freeze and put them in the microwave, fucking rub them on the wall. No,
scrape off layers.
Listen.
Doesn't
that
work
meant
like
when
that.
You took the pill, the only time you were going to get what you wanted was when the pill actually dissolved and got broken down by your body. There was no way around it. So at that point, the game had changed for me. And it changed for, you know, a lot of the people I sold to weren't people on the street shooting dope. These were union workers.
Right.
I used to go there. I used to go on payday, which was Tuesday. It still is. I used to go to work with, no bullshit, as an apprentice, I'd go to work with 600 of those, and I'd come home with 5.
Yeah. Oh,
that was just Tuesday alone. Because these guys had money. So a lot of the people that were above using heroin and above that type of shit.
Yeah.
I only take pills.
Right. Doctor prescribed these. You know.
Well, I just get a couple
I ain't
pills.
No junkie.
Yeah.
Right,
I'm not a junkie. I only take pills. And all of a sudden, I go away. I come back out. And fucking, I got people eating through fucking sheetrock to get through my house because they think I got these fucking things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I did. But the point is that they're going to tell me that they didn't know what the fuck was going on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
And I truly believe this, and this might be a false statement. I don't know. In my opinion, the heroin epidemic right now is due to those fucking pills.
I agree with that.
Well, I think it accelerated the epidemic.
Yeah.
I guess you're right, but but I never my OCs were never part of my story.
Mine either.
I got one OC in like 96. It was 100 milligram, and we got a hold of somebody after they died. It was a guy who had AIDS, and I never knew him. I don't even remember,
capsule,
dude.
Yeah.
I took it. I was like, nah, that was all right. I mean, I didn't know about taking any time release off or whatever. I was like, that's not like shooting dope, though. You know,
yeah, right.
No, that's what I mean. That's what a lot
you
of it is.
You know what I mean?
No, maybe not for you, not for you. I do believe, I know, I can think off the top of my head. Now, I sold to the same people and a lot of people on a big scale. I sold on a very big scale, and towards my end, I was just trying to play middleman, you know? So I know a lot of people that started out with the OCs and ended up on dope. That would never going to be me.
Yeah.
The last 4 or 5 years of my using was dope, without a doubt. And I'll be honest with you, as much as I got fucked up, it never compared to the 1080s I was sniffing a day. I got euphoria. Like, and my whole point of bringing this up is I'm not quite sure if OC80s particularly were still around that I could have done the recovery the way I did. Just being honest, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think... You know what I mean? I've had dreams of eating Twinkie-sized Xanax poles and Oreo-sized 80s. You know what I mean? Like, I still have them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which, I can remember coming out of a dream when I was in detox, and I was blown out a hit. And I wake up, and I'm like, oh, shit. I didn't just take a
hit. Done
I'm
that.
Not high.
I'm
not going to pass the piss test. What am I going to do?
Like, fuck, was that real?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
real. I remember a kid coming up to me saying, dude, I just spent $7,000. On OCs, and I'm like, What?
Seven hit. Grand?
Dude, oh, this yeah. is 10 bucks. High try this. hand him a fucking bag. You know, a Red Dragon or whatever.
Whatever
from,
it was
from
at the time.
Brockton.
Yeah.
Like, thinking nothing
the
of it.
Dragon, that's what it was.
Dude,
oh my
never,
God.
Like, thinking nothing of it. Ugly. Like, dude, you just spent $7,000 in 3 weeks on pills? Let's. Do you have $7,000? Let's go get some dope. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. I'm on the other end of the line. Like, dude, thanks for the $7,000. I just bought myself a new car, man. I'm fucking
guys in treatment, like, before I knew anything about treatment. Because, dude, I
had no idea.
The only time I ever heard the term halfway house was when a guy got out of jail.
Yeah.
He got out of jail. He went to the halfway house. That's where he had to live. I didn't know that you were in recovery or you were sober or whatever, anything like that.
Or somebody's grandfather who can't stop.
Oh, I went
drinking.
To a halfway house.
He lives in a halfway house. He loves his beer.
Right. And dude's coming over to me from a treatment center in Brockton on Main Street that you get paid, I think it's $1 a day, and then it gets $5 a week, and you don't get your first check because you have to pay for your lock for your locker. You might know what I'm talking about.
And
like selling them heroin. Like, they'd pull their money together, you know, with whatever they found in the donated clothes and all that shit, and bring it over, or they'd bring over something with brand new tags on it, and, like, I had no clue, you know? One dude, I remember the ambulance going over there, and, like, when I was shooting heroin, there really wasn't as many overdoses as there is now.
No.
There wasn't.
No, probably isn't.
There was a few, like, I was present at a couple, but nothing like it is. Today it's insane.
People are dropping,
And seeing the ambulance over at the treatment center, and it's because the kid was trying to fucking climb through the ceiling to dump the piss out that he pissed dirty earlier from me selling him fucking heroin. You know?
I was working in Brockton doing fence, and I was behind the building, and I was a question about the fence, so I had to go around the front of the building and talk to the owner about the fence. So I started going around the front of the building. Between the back of the building and the front of the building, I bought dope.
Yeah.
Went and talked to him, come back out, got high.
Got a haircut. Yeah. Pair of new sneakers.
Yeah. Right in that little area.
Yep. It's crazy how things are, like your view on things. Like I said, I know, I can only imagine. You know, and that's the sick part of it now, is like, it's not even about the drugs, it's about the lifestyle too, man. I got addicted to the lifestyle.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
To say I like running around dirty with sores on my abscess and shooting out of my arm. I'm saying, right? Like, I was, dude. Listen,
it becomes normal.
When I was growing up, I was always the younger kid in our neighborhood. So I tried to be the tough guy, and as I got to the high school, I was a tough guy, and I got recognition from that. And then I started running track. You know, I was 7th in the nation.
Hence the track suit.
Yeah. Hell yeah. the blue crush velvet, and we're not going to get into that, but I found my identity because people looked at me and I felt good about myself because I was doing something they couldn't. I also did it with art, so I got out of high school, I went to art school, I was getting that recognition.
I already had
a problem.
Yeah, we are definitely people who like that feeling of acceptance or looking for that acceptance, you know what I mean?
That recognition was
recognition,
really.
Acceptance.
And then,
listen, that's why I sold drugs.
That's what I was getting at. And then I got to a point where everything had gone. Now I'm out of high school and I'm out of college. Now what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, the rave scene was like, that shit started to go. Recognition. I'd show up. I was the man.
Exactly.
I enjoyed being the man.
You needed. You were happy to see me.
Oh, yeah, dude. I come over and piss in your mom's face, but you were loving me. Oh, dude, you look great.
Yeah.
I just piss in your mother's face. No, you look awesome.
Yeah.
You know? Dude. Oh, really?
10 minutes, Papa. Okay, no problem, buddy.
No
problem.
No problem.
Hang up the phone, you motherfucker. What the fuck? 10 minutes has been fucking a half an hour. He calls back. 5 minutes, Papa. Oh, all right, buddy. All right, cool. I'll see you soon. You need anything? I'm right at the store. You need anything?
I'm around the corner. An hour later.
Falling asleep in front of the store waiting on the guy in Brockton. Fuck.
Yeah.
He'd wake me, shaking me up, and 3 hours had gone by. Oh, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah. I don't know who had more excuses.
Oh,
me,
man.
For the shit I was doing or the drug dealer who wasn't on the drugs he was selling, what he would tell me. Oh, I was driving down the street, a goose jumped in front of me. Yeah. I fucking rolled my car over 7 times and put it back up, and you know, we ain't got a car wash now. I'm here, and I'm like, hey, car looks fine to me. Yeah. No, but that's cool. How you doing? You want my sneakers? You know what I mean? Like, are you fucking kidding me? The shit that you would put up for, settling for less, the things you put up for when you're in that mindset.
That's
crazy,
right.
This dude.
But I gotta say, like, right now, my life has never been better. I mean, I feel so blessed right now in my life. I mean, things are going really well, and I almost am pretty positive that I would not be alive right now.
Without a doubt.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd be dead.
Right. I got 9 skulls on my wrist for the 9 times I faced death face to face. Not all of them. I've never overdosed. Like I said, I've had a pretty tough paper aside of the addiction, but like you said, I guarantee. Now, I shouldn't say that. If I continue on using, I probably would have died one way or another. If it wasn't lifestyle, it was the drugs. But I truly, at this point in my life, I can't be any happier. I make okay money. My life isn't great. I take the tea. You know what I mean? I just got off of shower shoes. You know what I mean? Like, my life is okay.
It just
and I'm not that guy at the
better.
Meeting says, life is great. No, you know what? Life is okay, but
it's
not.
Still challenges.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not about life. It's how I see it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's
right.
What I'm okay with. I wake up and I see things. I'm happy, dude. I never knew what happiness was. I wake up, I'm laughing. 20 minutes out now. I get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I work all day, and everybody's, I'm going to go home. I'm so tired. My wife, and I'm like, dude, this is fucking halftime. I'm out to a meeting. I'm going to speak. If I'm not doing that, I'm bringing my sponsor to the gym. Or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. You know what I mean? I'm not laying down at 11:30 every night. Now, could I complain about it? Yeah. But
right.
I mean, it's all on how you look at it. You know what I mean?
It's perspective.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
You know, I hear it all the time. It's 10% what happens to you, it's 90% how you react to it.
Exactly. I use this one analogy that might help. I use a lot of analogies because I'm not too bright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I can't come up with it, I'll steal it from someone else.
There you go. That's it.
Well, I try to come up with, I try to be a little bit original, but I told my sponsor this not too long ago, like 2 weeks ago, and he's like, what do you mean by perspective? I'm looking at, I'm like, no, listen. You go to the movies. You're looking at the movie. You're sitting to the right. There's a movie. You're seeing it. You're hearing it. You're seeing it. Looks pretty good. You're hearing it. Sounds all right. Pick up out of that seat and go sit in the center of the fucking movie. Now you're seeing everything. You're hearing everything, and it's that much better. It's all you're looking at the same movie in the same place, but you got a different view on what exactly what's happening. And life being the movie, you know what I mean? And sometimes when things happen to me, even now being clean, I still don't see it. But I know that the farther I get away from whatever's going on, this is when the react and respond comes into it.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
The farther I get away from that movie, the bigger picture I see. And sometimes I figure it out. Sometimes my high power doesn't ever want me to figure it out. Whatever,
right.
That's on him.
The movie looks like shit when you're shooting the dope in the bathroom of the theater.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I went to that movie. I don't remember it.
Oh, I used to go to the movies because everybody knew I was getting high, like, and they were trying to get me sober, my family and whoever, my friends, whatever. So I'd go to the movies by myself and just fucking sit there and nod out.
Yeah, when no one was going to complain.
Yeah, no one was going to notice.
I was the grandmaster of movies getting high for 20 years. Now I go to a movie, unless we go at like 9, 10, 11 a.m., after I've had 19 cups of coffee, I'm going to sleep, dude.
Yeah.
I went to go see it. I had to go twice. I went with my girlfriend. First, I went with my girlfriend and my sponsee. My sponsor. We went and fucking, I go and I did okay. Because it was exciting. Everybody was screaming. It was an okay movie, but it was more what was going on. I go to a movie now, and unless I really am worked up for it, doesn't matter. I just did it last night. We rented, what was this? The Mummy with Tom Cruise. I'm all about it. Just woke up from a nap yesterday, came home. Just woke up from a nap. It's like 5, 6 o'clock. She goes, let's watch a movie. I'm like, yeah, I'll even pay for it. Order it on actually, you know what I mean? Whatever,
yeah.
$5.99, whatever the fuck. We order it. I'm all ready to watch it. 20 minutes into it, fucking drooling again. She's like, I can't stand
just woke
it.
Up from a nap.
I can't watch movies no more, and I miss that, dude. I can't watch TV. I don't know. Well, actually, I do know. It's because I'm sober. I got so many other things I want to do. I draw. I fucking think. I'm talking to this. I'm over here tonight. She's probably at home pulling her hair out, but Yeah. Like you were saying, life at this point, if that's the least of my fucking problems, I'm
luxury
okay with
problems.
That. You know what I mean? Like,
there's people praying for our problems.
That's right. That's exactly.
It, you know,
that's
praying
it.
For our problems.
That's a good note, though, because we've got to wrap it.
All right. Thank you guys for having me. Like I said, the main thing I look at is it's not what happens to you, it's how you handle it. I said that earlier. That's something I learned from my mother. I mean, anything I can do for you guys, anytime you guys want me here, I'd love to be part of something like that. Something that shows people exactly where you can be and where you came from.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, man.
Sounds good. Thanks for coming on, brother. Appreciate
anytime.
Appreciate it, homie. All right.